Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to hear about an upcoming event for Yellow Ribbon companies and get an update from the Minneapolis VA. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Our state's Yellow Ribbon networks are an incredible resource as we work to connect service members, veterans, military families, employers, and communities. They help ensure the resilience of those who serve. Started right here in Minnesota, our Yellow Ribbon program is now the model for networks across the nation. Since we proclaimed our first Yellow Ribbon network in 2008, hundreds more have emerged in counties, cities, communities, and at companies statewide. These self-sustaining networks draw together agencies, community leaders, and volunteers. They strive to support the service members, veterans, and military families of any age and from any era that live and work in their area. The continued growth and improvement of this program are vitally important as service members and their families continue to adapt to increasing demands and training requirements as we see across the force. To all of our incredibly generous and dedicated Yellow Ribbon volunteers, thank you. Your help ensures our service members and their families remain resilient and ready to serve. If you are ready to join a Yellow Ribbon network near you or make your large company or community Yellow Ribbon, please visit mnbtyr.ng.mil. That's mnbtyr.ng.mil.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Annette Kuiper, who is the Director of Military Outreach for the Department of Military Affairs for the state of Minnesota. Annette, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. And that was quite an introduction you got from the Adjutant General himself.
Yes, all the leadership within the Minnesota National Guard are so help us so much and support our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program. They know what our communities, counties, and companies are doing across the state.
And Minnesota Military Radio has been on the air now for almost 11 years, but you've been working on Yellow Ribbon for even longer than that.
Yes, really since 2008, our first community became a Yellow Ribbon community in Farmington, and our first company was Target Corporation in Minneapolis.
And how many communities are we up to and how many companies?
We're up to 81 community networks in over 270 cities across the state, and we are at 82 Yellow Ribbon companies.
You have been busy.
Very busy, all across state.
Like to think you probably burned up about three cars by now, Annette. And we want to talk about Yellow Ribbon companies today, but before we do that, I just want to give another shout-out to the Hugo Yellow Ribbon. They keep sending boxes to our troops deployed all over the world almost every week.
Yes, they are a model of what a Yellow Ribbon network can do and sending wish list items all over the internationally to all of our units. It's wonderful.
And you put an outreach out this week to try to gather up some clothing for our Afghan allies that are over in Wisconsin.
Yeah, at Fort McCoy, they're doing a gathering of clothing and making sure that those families are well taken care of as well.
And I'm sure all your Yellow Ribbon communities and companies are helping to gather up those supplies so that we can take care of those people that helped our troops over the last 20 years.
They always, our Yellow Ribbon networks always come to our help and aid whenever we put out a request like that. So it's overwhelming the generosity of our networks.
Very good. Now, Annette, you've got a conference coming up. A Yellow Ribbon Company Conference. Can you tell me what that's about?
Sure. Well, to become a Yellow Ribbon Company, our companies across Minnesota really need to look at three areas and make commitments in three areas. The first area is veteran recruiting, hiring, and retaining. The second area is supporting their military-connected employees. And the third area is connecting in with military support efforts in the communities they serve. So they do the same, very similar to what our community networks do, in which they have to submit an action plan that is submitted to the state of Minnesota for approval and to meet very high requirements for our companies to become Yellow Ribbon companies. So of our 82 Yellow Ribbon companies, in the spring and the fall, we bring them together for three reasons, really to share their best practices in those areas, to share their action plans. And the second area is to build relationships. And the third area that we bring them together for is really to educate them on any new resources that could help support their employees or their communities. So in the spring and the fall, our wonderful Yellow Ribbon companies rotate and offer to host our Yellow Ribbon Company conferences where we bring all the companies and our key support partners together to really do all those things as a whole team.
And Annette, you say you're up to 82 companies, and I can't reel them all off, but these are companies that people know about. They're U.S. Bank, they're Name off a few of them.
Oh, U.S. Bank, 3M, Target, Wells Fargo, just to name a few. But also we have McGough Construction and Regions Hospital, as well as some state agencies like the Department of Natural Resources. And we want to make sure that we're all working together to be good workplaces for our military-connected people in Minnesota.
And they all make a commitment to hire veterans.
Absolutely. They make a commitment to hire veterans and support them. So we ask them to have strong policies that retain all military-connected employees so that they feel supported in the workplace.
We're speaking with Annette Kuiper about her Yellow Ribbon Networks on Minnesota Military Radio. Annette, would you like to introduce your first guest?
Yes. My first guest today is Wayne Peterson from the Minnesota Wild, and Wayne is the Director of Community Relations and Hockey Partnership. The Minnesota Wild and Highway Credit Union are hosting our next Yellow Ribbon Company Conference, and they've been giving us wonderful resources to be able to make that conference successful.
And we're going to talk to Highway Credit Union in the next segment, but Wayne, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, thank you. Good to be here.
Wayne, I'm reading some of the things you do to take care of the Wild's employee volunteer program. What a great job. Educational programs. You're working with Face Off for Fitness, Teacher of the Year programs, Youth Hockey Spotlights, Mike Jamboree, Leadership Summit. My goodness, how did you get that job?
I'm lucky. I consider myself very lucky. I always wanted to work in sports, going as far back as I can remember. And I've been in professional sports now for 35 years. Started with the Minnesota Twins in 1987, so it was a great year to start there. I was with them until 2000, and I've been with the Wild for 21 years now since the beginning. And it's been great. Our mission is to create a greater state of hockey, and I'm lucky in my position as Director of Community Relations and Hockey Partnerships that I get to do that every day. And hosting the Yellow Ribbon Conference in partnership with Highway Credit Union is a great example of us, you know, creating a greater state of hockey.
And Annette, the Wild was proclaimed as a Yellow Ribbon company quite some time ago, weren't they?
Oh, yes. They've been a partner for very many years. So we just couldn't do all that we do across the state without their partnership.
So, Wayne, how involved have you been with Annette in the Yellow Ribbon program? I'm sure you've been under her influence. Most people are.
Well, we became the 53rd company to be named a Yellow Ribbon company. Now it's grown to, what, 80?
82.
So you're right. She has been busy. And I'm sure who knows what it's going to grow to by this time next year. It's been a lot of fun getting to know Annette and working with her. And I tell you what, it's hard to believe that the conference is finally upon us. We at the Minnesota Wild have been talking about hosting a fall conference in particular for several years. We were penciled in for last fall, and of course we know what happened to that, but we wanted to host it in the fall because that's when our season kicks off, and so we will invite all of the attendees to come to the Wild game that night. So not only do they get to network and hear best practices at the event itself, but then they're going to come to the Wild game that evening, and we're going to, you know, entertain them in suites, and it's a great way to enjoy a game, but also a network with other companies. So it's finally here, and we're so excited to be a part of it along with Highway Credit Union.
So you've gotten to meet a lot of those folks from most of those Yellow Ribbon companies. And in addition to that, you've met a lot of folks from the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. And I understand you're in charge of planning for Military Appreciation Night at the Wild.
We are. Yes, I am. That's an annual tradition. Working with Annette and others on planning Military Appreciation Night. We always have lots of fun ideas to shine a spotlight on not only our veterans, but our active military personnel. You know, we have a longstanding relationship with the Minnesota National Guard, and we look forward to continuing that relationship for some time. And we collaboratively put together a great evening where we, again, honor our veterans. And what I really, really enjoy about that night is, you know, the past few years we've been able to honor World War II veterans, and which was always a lot of fun, but also Vietnam veterans. And we know that the Vietnam veterans, You know, they didn't get the big welcome home that veterans do now, and they were overlooked back in the day. And to be able to invite those people to come to a game, stand on the ice in front of 18, 19,000 fans and get the round of applause that they so deserve. I've seen men walk off the ice with tears. And that just makes me feel so, I get goosebumps right now talking about it. It's so much fun, and it's such an honor to be a part of that and pay the respects that they are due.
Thank you for honoring them in that fashion. And Annette, we talked about companies, but you've also got the Minnesota Twins, you've got the Vikings, you've got the sports teams covered too.
Yes, and they have been just wonderful partners. Whenever we have Yellow Ribbon events across the state, or just need some partnership to get information out more broadly, and the Minnesota Wild is really leading the way with that.
We're talking about the Fall Yellow Ribbon Company Conference on Minnesota Military Radio. We have to take a short break. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Annette Kuiper about the Yellow Ribbon Company Conference is coming up. And Annette, it was great to meet Wayden Peterson from the Minnesota Wild in that first segment. And they're going to co-host the conference with who?
With Highway Credit Union, one of our wonderful partners in St. Paul.
And would you like to introduce your guest?
Yes, today I'm very happy to have Dave Bowden, who's president and CEO of Highway Credit Union, and also he is the chairperson of the St. Paul Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Community Network. So he kind of plays a dual role for us, which we really appreciate his partnership.
Dave, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you. Really appreciate being here with the Wild as one of our great partners, and with the Guard and Annette, and thanks for having us. Thanks for having me.
Dave, you got an interesting story. I understand you joined Highway Credit Union in 2003 as VP of Technology.
Yep, that's right.
And the next thing you know, in 2013, you're the president and CEO. How'd you manage that?
I don't know. I still kind of wonder that. People that know me ask, how did that happen? But, you know, I started there, as you say, in 2003. I was involved in technology. And as everybody knows, including what we're doing here today, you know, technology is just been the centerpiece of everything that happens in business. And because of that, I got to know all aspects of the company and got to learn a lot of things and meet everybody across the company. And just over that time, I was fortunate to be tapped to be the CEO when our previous CEO retired. And so it's been a great run.
Now, the Highway Credit Union is member-based.
That's correct.
And it's quite sizable. A lot of members and quite a bunch of assets.
Yeah, Highway has been a credit union here in the state of Minnesota since 1931. And at this point, we have grown to over 80,000 members and about $1.6 billion in assets. So as a credit union, we're relatively good size. As a financial institution, we're kind of middle of the road. In fact, maybe even toward the small side compared to the U.S. banks and Wells Fargo's of the world. But when we talk about our BYR efforts and other things, we've tried to really amplify our messaging and amplify what we do and kind of punch above our weight, if you know what I mean. And so that's what we've applied here in the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program as well.
Dave, we've been talking about your credit union for years. We've been on the air for 11 years, and I think the first couple of years, Annette, they held some seminars over there on how to start a business.
Yes.
Yep,
and there were quite a few people that attended those, and yep. And I've been listening to Highway about your bank, about your credit union for years, all the things you do to help support our service members and our veterans and their families.
Well, we really appreciate that. You know, Highway's a community-based local organization. All the things we do to reach out in the community is very important. And when we started to look into our association with the military and military families and the military community, what really happened is back in before 2013, we had a merger with a credit union called Fort Snelling Credit Union. And they were located down right next to the VA hospital and had a lot of members that were veterans and service members. And as that member group joined Highway, we really got to know a lot about what the needs of the service member community were and the families and the veterans. We got connected with the National Guard. We did a lot of events and financial literacy planning and just helping out at events up at Camp Ripley and here in the Twin Cities. We got to meet Annette, and which was great because she got us on track to be proclaimed as a Yellow Ribbon company to do all the things you need to do with hiring veterans and supporting the military that you have in your company. And in 2013, we were proclaimed as a BYR company. And I think we were the 28th maybe or something about that when we were proclaimed. So it's been a great, great run.
Congratulations on that, Dave. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And now you've teamed up with Wayne in the Wild.
That's right.
And you're going to host this upcoming convention.
Yeah. It's thanks to the Wild for putting on a great event, as you would expect for somebody as popular here in the community as the Wild are and who have as much reach. And so we're really happy to partner with them. We have been a corporate sponsor with the Wild for a number of years. And so we've partnered on a lot of things, a lot of fun activities like a program called Hockey Kids for Kids that is a program to help underserved youth in the communities and learn to help other kids in the communities. And the Wild have been a great partner in that. And that's applied as well to a lot of our military-related events and things we've done. And so we're really happy to partner. They've been great supporters of ours with Military Appreciation Night, with some BYR nights. I've personally been fortunate enough to be able to say, let's play hockey up there with a service member who flew in from deployment just for that event. And so we're really happy to be partnering with the Wild on this event.
We're speaking about the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Company Conference on Minnesota Military Radio. And, Annette, the conference is coming up. You've got two great hosts. They're Yellow Ribbon companies, and it sounds like your Yellow Ribbon companies, I've heard for years, they work with each other to support whatever's coming up, and these two look like they work together well. Tell us what's going to happen at this conference.
Oh, my goodness. When a company hosts, they really help us find the venue, provide wonderful refreshments for our attendees. But most importantly of all, they share their action plan. They share their best practices, what has worked for them. Sometimes they even share lessons learned if certain initiatives within the organization didn't work. So it's a great opportunity for the host company to showcase all the wonderful things that they're doing within their organization. And I had to keep Wayne and Dave to a time limit because Highway Credit Union and the Minnesota Wild do so much, they had to put it all into a short presentation.
All right, Wayne, we're going to come to you. Can you give us an example of a best practice that you're going to share?
You know, you mentioned some of the previous or other Yellow Ribbon companies like Wells Fargo, U.S. Bank. Well, we're pretty small as far as number of employees. But we have a huge platform. Like Dave mentioned, our reach. And you mentioned earlier Military Appreciation Night. And I'll give you one example. Another example is we've often hosted Hiring Our Heroes in partnership with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Unfortunately, we were unable to do it last year because of COVID. We're hoping to do it again in the fall of 22, where in previous years, like 100 employers have come to our building on a game day and recruiting veterans. And that's been a big success, and we're looking forward to continuing that in the fall of 22.
And Dave, can you give us an example of a best practice you're going to share?
Yeah, we are a small organization with a little over 200 employees. So we learned early on that while we wanted to do everything we could for hiring veterans and service members, that we really wanted to expand our reach. So I think one of the key best practices we have is that we have really teamed up with the St. Paul community Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network. And Annette had asked us if we could do some things with that back in 2013, 2014. And so at that time, I came in as the chair of that group. And Highway has started to provide a lot of services for that group. And we've really integrated the operations to the extent that we can reach out to all over the community to solicit for serving veteran needs that we get through any number of channels. So veterans that need assistance day to day on, you know, mowing their lawns or snow shoveling, or they have financial difficulties. We had a service member family who unfortunately had a service member that passed away last year, and we were able to fund their trip to a funeral just because they couldn't meet that financial need. And so that's the type of thing we've done by partnering with our network in the St. Paul community.
Thank you, Dave. Wayne, quick question for you. What would you have to say to other companies if they were thinking about becoming Yellow Ribbon?
Well, We became a Yellow Ribbon Company because it's the right thing to do. And it's great to support our military. It's great to support our veterans. And I would highly encourage it, as I'm sure Dave would too. We're thrilled to be among 80-plus companies in Minnesota to be called a Yellow Ribbon Company. And I would highly encourage it if you're thinking about it.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio, and thanks for hosting this conference. Annette, you got about 30 seconds to wrap this up.
Well, I'm so appreciative to Minnesota Wild and Highway Credit Union. They are really showcasing what our great Yellow Ribbon companies are doing all across the state.
And Annette, I can't wait to see who you're going to bring in next, and I want a full report on this conference so that we can tell all the potential Yellow Ribbon companies out there what they're missing.
I will. I will. Thank you, Tom.
Well, thanks for joining us. That was Annette Kuiper, who is the Director of Military Outreach for the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs, Wayne Peterson from the Minnesota Wild, and Dave Bowden from Highway Federal Credit Union joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us when we come back. We're going to learn about what's going on at the Minneapolis VA to support our veterans and their families. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to get an update from the Minneapolis VA. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is committed to reducing the impact of the agency's operations on the environment and society. Here at MDVA, we have several practices that have been implemented throughout the agency to reach our sustainability goals. Our sustainable practices impact energy, water, waste, and fleet planning. Firstly, we begin with the education of the MDVA staff through monthly trainings. MDVA, along with the other agencies, have modestly reduced fossil fuel consumption by over 700,000 gallons through recent purchases of more efficient vehicles such as gas-powered hybrids, plug-in hybrids, and all-electric vehicles. We plan to install electric vehicle charging station at our Minneapolis home as our first commitment to electrifying our light fleet. As a whole, state agencies have reduced energy intensity per square foot through over 308 documented energy conservation measures. To reduce waste, we are expanding organic recycling on our Minneapolis campus. All these plans and practices help MDVA get closer to a more sustainable future.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and joining us now to talk about that is Lisa Kilty, who is the Intimate Partner Violence Assistance Program Coordinator at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Lisa, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Lisa, I understand you graduated from one of my favorite colleges. I've been a fan of it for years, St. Kate's.
Yep, I did. With my master's in social work, I graduated. It was a joint program at St. Kate's and St. Thomas.
So you went over there and graduated as a social worker, and I understand you've been with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system since 2008.
Right, yep. My entire social work career has been at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system.
So is it safe to assume that you like working with veterans?
I think it's safe to assume that, yes.
And I understand in 2015 your career at the VA took a change into what you're working on today.
Right, yep. That's when I took the position here at the VA for, it was a new program at the time called the Intimate Partner Violence Assistance Program, and I'm the coordinator for that at the Minneapolis VA.
Well, Lisa, that's quite a mouthful, the Intimate Partner Violence Assistance Program Coordinator.
Yes.
Can you tell us in a little shorter terms than that, what is that?
Right. So it is a long term for a program. So sometimes we refer to it by the acronym, as we often do at the VA. So the Intimate Partner Violence Assistance Program, we refer to as IPVAP. And this program exists at the VA to provide services to veterans, partners, partners of veterans, and VA employees who are either experiencing intimate partner violence or using intimate partner violence. And I want to clarify that term, intimate partner violence, because I think when people hear that term, they often think of physical violence as, you know, that's what domestic violence or intimate partner violence is. But intimate partner violence, or IPV, also includes things like verbal abuse, sexual abuse, threatening or intimidation or controlling behaviors. So how we define intimate partner violence at the VA is any physical, sexual, or psychological harm that can include coercive acts by a current or former partner or spouse that occurs on a continuum of frequency or severity, and that does not require sexual intimacy or cohabitation. So operating under that definition, then, we have our IPVAP in place to provide some comprehensive services for veterans and veteran partners. And our program has four pillars. So we're veteran-centric, we're trauma-informed, person-centered, and recovery-oriented.
So, Lisa, I'm assuming we're talking all about relationships, mostly between husbands and wives, and they either have a healthy or an unhealthy relationship?
Right, yep. And, you know, I view it on a spectrum. So there's healthy relationships, unhealthy, and then high risk. So with healthy relationships, you know, we see things like trust and respect, love, compassion, having that strong connection with one another. But unhealthy relationship behaviors, that's something we want to be mindful of and kind of look out for. Things when you're disrespecting each other or having inconsistent support of one another or dishonesty, you know, boundaries aren't respected. There's maybe not shared decision making. Maybe you're assuming your partner knows what's bothering you without talking to them about it. So these are some unhealthy behaviors that, you know, we might want to get some interventions in there before it escalates to anything more serious. And then we have the high-risk behaviors in relationships as well, which could be a more serious sign of intimate partner violence where one or both of the partners are at harm. And, you know, that's intentionally hurting their partner either physically or emotionally or being demeaning or controlling, isolating their partner, calling them names, intimidating them, and, you know, that includes things like property damage. So those are things where we really would hope people would reach out for some support to see if we have services that might be able to help.
We're speaking with Lisa Kilty from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Lisa, I'm trying to envision a veteran that maybe had a nice, healthy relationship with their spouse and have some kind of health issues that might involve a lack of mobility, some frustrations, unable to care for themselves, a change in their life that causes some friction. And is that the type of thing that can cause this to move from healthy to unhealthy to high risk?
Yeah, you know, that change in relationship, we see that a lot with veterans who, like you said, have some health things that came up, and maybe now they're more dependent on their partner for some basic care things, like, you know, even hands-on care. And that loss of independence and that change in your relationship with your partner can certainly increase some of these relationship behaviors that might start teetering on unhealthy and even into the more serious, you know, serious areas of domestic violence. So that can certainly be a cause, yes.
So, Lisa, are you able to show the husband, wife, or whoever the relationship is, how they can deal with some of those issues, some of those frustrations better so that they can maintain that healthy relationship?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so this program, so like I said, we're recovery-oriented. So we truly believe that things can improve. We can, you know, help by showing the couple or the veteran or whoever needs it how to improve their relationship. We have a phenomenal program here under IPVAP called Strength at Home. That is a very well-received group therapy program for veterans who have had anger or aggression in their relationship. And we, you know, they come in for 12 sessions with, you know, other guys in the group, and we talk about how to use assertive language rather than anger expression, communication skills, conflict resolution with their partner. We've had over 300 veterans come through that program at RVA in Minneapolis, and we receive really positive feedback from them saying how helpful it was. And then just this last summer, we launched the Strength at Home Couples program here in Minneapolis. So that's a 10-week group therapy program where now they can bring their partner with them and the couple works together on improving that relationship. And we've been getting really good feedback on that as well.
So, Lisa, is it possible that some of the veterans become more and more difficult because they're frustrated and they don't even really realize that they've changed their tone? They're changing the relationship.
Yeah, and sometimes it's been there all along, and it's just been getting worse. So when we think about, you know, how many of our veterans have had an exposure to a traumatic event in their life, we know that exposure to trauma can impact how you are in your relationship and how you communicate with others. That can be causing problems that you might not even be aware of. So we work with people on, you know, kind of discovering that. Where are the communication problems that you're having with your partner? What do those look like? And how can we help you improve that?
Very good. Lisa, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to speak more with Lisa Kilty from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System about Domestic Violence Awareness Month. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Lisa Kilty, who is the Intimate Partner Violence Assistance Program Coordinator at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. And we've been talking about how changes in health and other changes as veterans age and their health changes can cause changes in their relationships with their significant others. And Lisa, I'm curious. I can envision a scenario where a husband and wife have had a nice long married life, and all of a sudden the veteran becomes disabled, and mm-hmm. and that puts the spouse in a position where they're now a caregiver in addition to being a significant other and partner.
Yeah, it really can bring on some, you know, blurred boundaries, right? And it's a real challenge for both. So, you know, we talked earlier about how the veterans are having that difficulty navigating the change of needing a caregiver, but the caregivers are really experiencing quite a lot of change too. So now they're a spouse and they're in charge of, you know, managing the veteran's care and maybe doing hands-on daily living tasks, and that can really change the dynamic of the relationship so significantly that both partners are just really navigating to maintain, having a hard time maintaining that connection with one another.
So the important thing is to maintain a respectful relationship and understand that the caregiver is probably gotten lots of pressure, mm-hmm. and you have some help for caregivers at the Minneapolis VA as well.
Yes. So if you are a caregiver and you're struggling with, you know, that relationship with your partner, I encourage you to reach out to me as well. So our program, we serve veterans and partners of veterans. So you can contact me, and I'll give you my contact information at the end here, and we can talk about what services might be helpful to you in trying to improve that relationship.
So Lisa, what we're talking about today is both sides understanding a change in a relationship and trying to get them to both honor the fact that, okay, the veteran needs help, but the other partner is now changed as well. So how do we honor and promote relationship wellness?
Yeah, so that's our theme for Domestic Violence Awareness Month for the VA is honor relationship wellness. And we know that supportive and connected relationships is a universal protective factor for physical and mental health. And that when you have those strong relationships, that can increase a sense of belonging, purpose, improve self-confidence and self-worth. But the quality of that relationship matters. So if you're living in conflict, that can reduce your health quality as well. So if we're talking about veterans and caregivers who might already have some complex health needs, adding that conflictual relationship could be making things even worse. So that's why it's imperative to seek support if you are having struggles in your relationship. And we identify relationship wellness as having intimacy wellness, so having that connection with one another, trust, safety, good communication wellness, where you're talking to one another well, you have good compromise, conflict resolution. And then personal wellness is important. So keeping your good care of yourself lets you be a better partner. And then that relationship wellness. So doing things to strengthen that partnership. That could be things like having weekly check-ins with one another, scheduling quality time together, and really being present and being there for each other.
Maybe a date night, Lisa.
Yes, a date night, absolutely.
Well, Lisa, we've just got about a minute left. Can you tell us how can our veterans or their caregivers reach out to you as the Intimate Partner Violence Assistance Program Coordinator at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System?
Yes. So, like I said, our program serves veterans, partners of veterans, and VA employees. So if you need support in your relationship, you can contact myself at 612-467-1523. I'm at the Minneapolis VA, and we also have Joy Finkelson at the St. Cloud VA, and her phone number is 320-252-1670, extension 6398. We also have a website. It's socialwork.va.gov/IPV/index.asp. And if you find yourself needing immediate assistance for domestic violence, you can also contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233.
And Lisa, for our listeners, if you didn't get those phone numbers and websites, if you need help about domestic violence, just call the Minneapolis VA Medical Center or the St. Cloud VA Medical Center. When they answer the phone, tell them you're looking for IPV, the Intimate Partner Violence people. They'll fix you up.
Yep, absolutely.
Lisa, I'd like to thank you very much for taking time to join us today.
Thank you.
That was Lisa Kilty, the Intimate Partner Violence Assistance Program Coordinator at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
You bet. Hey, thanks, Tom, for having me.
Sergeant Major, I should have described that better. You are the State of Minnesota Command Sergeant Major over all of the soldiers and the airmen in the Minnesota National Guard, but you've got a couple of people behind you, and one of them on the air side is the State Command Chief Master Sergeant.
No, that's correct, and we've had a great one these past couple of years in Mark Rukavina, but he has decided he's going to retire and move on to other things like managing, a golf course, or at least working at a golf course. So last month we actually had a board and selected Lisa Erickson, which was the command chief up at the 148th Fighter Wing in Duluth, and she will now take that position from Mark on 16th of October. So it's kind of a big deal. You know, it's a great opportunity. She's going to be a fantastic command chief, and coincidentally, she'll be the first female command chief that we've had for the state. So, you know, absolutely the right person at the right time for that position.
So she will be then the senior enlisted advisor behind you for the 133rd Airlift Wing and 148th Fighter Wing.
Absolutely correct. About 2,400 airmen between the two, and she's just going to do a fantastic job. She's very enthusiastic and knowledgeable about all the concerns and, you know, issues that the airmen face, along with a lot on the Army side. So it's just going to be a great opportunity to continue moving forward.
And we've got both of them on the plan, so we'll have them on a show coming up soon. We can talk about what they do and why. And Sergeant Major, there was a Court of Honor up at Camp Ripley. Can you explain to us what that was?
Absolutely. So, you know, up at Camp Ripley, dating back to probably, you know, the 1920s, 1930s, they've been memorializing individuals by honoring them by naming buildings or, you know, things out there, ranges, roads, whatever it is. And at a certain point, you just run out of things. So they actually came up with the Court of Honor, you know, dating back a couple of decades ago, where now we have these granite faces that they're essentially having their names engraved in. And it's on the Army side right now. The Air is actually going to be doing their first one this month. So it's a great thing for the Air as well to just recognize those individuals. So it's both for the Army side, it's officers, enlisted and warrant officers, that can be recognized. And this year we had 13 individuals that were inductees, to include the former Adjutant General, General Nash. And we had three enlisted, so retired Command Sergeant Major Campson, Command Sergeant Major Stroner, and Master Sergeant Haugen were all inductees this year as well.
And I noticed that the former Camp Ripley Commander Scott St. Sauber, Colonel St. Sauber, was in there too.
Absolutely. You know, I didn't want to miss anyone, so I didn't go into all the officers. But yeah, he was one of them as well. You know, there were some great stories. It's a heck of an event if people haven't attended it, especially on the military side. If you haven't attended it, you know, you get to hear all the great things that people before us have done. And, you know, it's an opportunity, like I said, to recognize that again and then just memorialize it up at Camp Ripley.
Sergeant Major, we just got about a minute left. I understand you're going down to Fort Riley for a couple of reasons.
Absolutely. So myself, the Adjutant General, the Command Chief Warrant Officer Jensen, and the Chaplain, we're all heading down to Fort Riley down in Kansas. One reason is the 34th Infantry Division is wrapping up their warfighter exercise today, and tomorrow will be the final after action review where we sit down and, you know, they get to go through what they did well, what they should have done, and, you know, how to go about rectifying in the future if they need to work on something. So that's the big thing that we'll be doing in the morning tomorrow at 05, very early. And then this evening, the Adjutant General, myself, the Chaplain, and the Chief Warrant Officer are all going to meet with soldiers that we have that through the mobilization process or whether we're deployed, either were injured or became ill, and they're currently down at the soldier recovery unit at Fort Riley getting medical treatment. So we're going to go down there and meet with them and, you know, just let them know that everyone up in Minnesota is thinking about them.
Yeah, and recruit them back to the Minnesota National Guard, get them back to work.
Absolutely. You know, we want to get them moving in the right direction, you know, and hopefully that's, you know, staying in uniform. You know, unfortunately, some of them might have to face it, you know, a different road, but, you know, even then, you know, we have Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and other things that we can do to assist those individuals in, you know, transitioning. So, you know, hopefully they transition right back into the unit. But if, you know, if we have to do some other things, you know, we definitely have systems in place that we can assist those individuals as well.
Sergeant Major, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us again on Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, you bet, Tom. Thanks for having me.
That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Lisa Kilty, Dave Bowden, Wayne Peterson, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper, Annette Kuiper, Commissioner Larry Herke of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we talk about the Veterans Resiliency Project and get an update from the Minnesota National Guard. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota Military Radio.com.